everybody, and welcome to the First Avengers podcast for the new year from the showplace of the Air Force, Joint Base San Antonio, Randolph, Texas. I'm your host for this episode, Jet Fabera from the 340th Flying Training Group Public Affairs Team. In case you forgot, during our extra extended break, this podcast is dedicated to bringing total force tips and talks from subject matter experts and leaders throughout the Air Force that help inspire and inform. Last year, we wanted to introduce you to who we are as a group, and in this episode, we're taking on that same theme by introducing our newest senior enlisted leader. Ma'am, please introduce yourself.
Thanks, Jet. Thank you for having me here. I'm really excited. My name is Chief Master Sergeant Elisa Villarreal.
Okay, well, ma'am, thank you for joining us. So as previously mentioned, we'll just jump into it. Mm-hmm. We really strive to give our audience a better understanding of who we are on every podcast. And with our first question, I wanted to kick this one off by asking, what motivated you to serve and to continue serving?
I always love this question when I'm asked. I am from a military family. My grandfather was in the military. My father was in the Air Force. My father-in-law, my husband, and I am third generation. So the Air Force is a family business to me. So that's what motivates me. The Air Force has been so great for me and my family. Like everyone, they wanted to join for education purposes. Absolutely. I come from humbling beginnings. I was born in Thailand. My father was a staff sergeant raising three children by himself, and we were able to travel the world. And just having that family background that I didn't have, I didn't grow up near, you know, the typical grandparents, cousins, so the military family is what I grew up around. So my motivation was to be a part of that, to continue to have that that network, and I just felt safe, you know. I felt I was part of a bigger picture. But I love the Air Force so much that my children joined. And so their spouses are in the Air Force. And if I didn't believe in what the Air Force has to offer and what they do, I never would have like encouraged my children to join. But, you know, that's why I continue to serve. It means so much to be able to wear the uniform and serve alongside my children. And I'm not going to be here forever, but they say you know when it's time to go, and I'm not done yet. There's so much that I want to do to help the airmen make the Air Force better.
Well, ma'am, thank you for providing us some background on your journey. The question I know that's usually brought up and one we wanted to ask was, what's one bit of advice or two that you pass on to others who find themselves in a position to mentor, equip, and build the future of our force?
Being a mentor is, I think people that are being asked to be mentors, they should be honored that somebody found something in you that motivated them to want to serve. So the advice that I would give to anyone that's in a mentoring, that has a mentoring opportunity to develop our force is, and I learned this when I was stationed at the Pentagon, a good friend of mine told me that we are shipbuilders. And what I mean by shipbuilders is we need to develop partnerships, relationships, and friendships. And as a mentor, you're not going to know everything. When someone comes up to you and they need advice or they're lost, they just don't know what the career path to go, you may not know the answer. And being that shipbuilder, having those networking options out there, I'll take someone and I'll introduce them. Oh, you know what? I have a friend that you would be perfect that knows the path you want to take. So you do the introductions. So as a mentor, having that networking background, people always say my superpower is that I know everybody. That's not really true. I know people, but I know people that know other people. And so just having that will help you be a better mentor because you just opened it up for somebody else to have the opportunity to develop and mold that airman. Another advice that I would give is don't wait to be asked to be a mentor. When you're walking around your squadron, your organization, and you see something in someone, that spark, that what motivates them, pull them aside, get to know them. A lot of times they don't know what they don't know, and by you just having that conversation and taking interest in their career, their personal lives, their professional lives, you probably put them on a path they didn't know that was available to them. So I say seek mentorship opportunities, even though you're not asked. But also, don't look for those individuals that are, you know, with the fire, the passion, they want to make the organization better. The best leaders that I've ever encountered or met across paths with were ones that made mistakes. So find those airmen that, you know, maybe they just went down the wrong road, you know, but sit down with them, get to know them, and then teach them that it's okay to make a mistake. And then what did they learn from that mistake? And have them share their story so other people won't make the same mistake that they've made. So basically what I'm trying to say, being a mentor, is just be available, be approachable, and then let people know that if they ever want to talk to you, that you're available.
That's awesome. You normally don't hear that aspect of mentorship. But no, it's, again, it's, I mean, this program's about definitely learning new perspectives on just the walk and the career path as well.
It's probably the best part of my day when somebody comes and says, Chief, you got a second? Absolutely. Have a seat. And then you just have the conversation. Just being approachable will make people open up, and you'd be amazed by how many times they didn't know that these opportunities were out there. But now that I know that they're interested in something, I will do everything I can to make open those doors that they didn't know that they that were there.
Well, ma'am, since we're on the topic of mentorship, I know the group's senior enlisted leaders recently had a leadership development summit. So would it be possible to get a first-person view of what these summits consist of and their value to citizen airmen?
Absolutely. I wish I could have had everyone there, but as the new group SCL, I found it was important that I got to know the mission of the 340th and the fact that we have geographically separated units out there and they have SCLs there. I used to work in an organization where I was geographically separated, and you kind of feel alone sometimes. And I felt like leadership didn't know what we dealt with on a day-to-day basis. So at this leadership event, day one, I wanted to get to know the SCLs at the GSUs. Basically, how they're organized, how they run their programs, but also to have crosstalks amongst the other SCLs so they could share their stories. Maybe they can learn from one another. Maybe there's something that they do at one squadron that another squadron was like, wow, I didn't know I could do that. And just opening up those lines of communication. I felt that was very necessary, being the new group SCL, because I needed to know what they needed from me at the group, that I could advocate for them, what resources they need. So it was great to know them, to open that trust, and you can't do that virtually. A lot of it you have to do face-to-face. So that was more for me to get to know what they do at the GSUs and what I can do to empower them and let them know that I'm here for them. And then on day two, we tried to open up a leadership event for professional development. But of course, this was our first time doing this type of summit, this event. So, you know, we had some hiccups and we had to adapt and adjust. But it was great to have the senior master sergeants here at the group, the MPF, finance, the SARM, as well as XP. And I asked them to come, and then I wanted to open up the lines of communication amongst the SELs with the group. And it was a very productive conversation. And I said, you know, what are we doing? What are the GSUs doing that you appreciate? And then what are things that you notice that maybe we could do better? And so we were able to do the open the lines of communication again, and then just have that honest feedback back and forth. I thought that was very important. And then on the third day, I wanted to open it up to even a bigger pool of audience, but, you know, with communication and comms, we weren't able to, you know, get the cameras working and everything, but we had a first sergeant panel. And getting their leadership perspective, especially as an SCL, a senior NCO, and understanding the triad concept, you know, the commander, the chief, and the first sergeant. So that was very good. They kind of provide examples of what they go through to kind of help us, letting them know they're a valued resource as well to the group. But, and then there were talks, and I know I wish I could have had everyone, all the enlisted from the 340th, Flying Training Group attend, but you know, it all comes down to money. They did ask if we could do an enlisted summit, and I know there was one done back a few years ago, so it is on my agenda to maybe start having those conversations for the future. I'm not there yet, so when I'm walking around, you know, any ideas, I mean, just keep throwing them at me because I will ask the question.
Well, that's awesome. And in terms of, this is another question, not on
sure.
there, but I know in terms of other organizations, what are some highlights of the group that you've seen since you've been here?
Oh, that is a great question. Since I've been here a few weeks, and I will say the people. You can see they love what they do. They love the 340th and what they have to offer. And I see how excited, you know, that they're excited to come to work. And as I walk around, you know, to get introduce myself, let them know who I am, I want to get to know them. And when they share their story and why they're here, I couldn't ask for a better organization. And I've been through amazing organizations. I've been very blessed in my career. But I will say the 340th, they have something special. And I admire just how excited everyone is to come to work today and how excited they are to make the organization better.
Ma'am, there's another question I had. We had Major Glover on at our last year's podcast. We were just going over the mission of the 433rd. And what was that like being at BMT, you know, going through that that organization there at basic training?
Well, and to be honest, I didn't realize we had a reserve squadron there. And the fact, what they did to get basic training, get the airmen through training to tech school during COVID, no other service could do that. And so the 433rd saved basic training, to be honest. I mean, I'm just going to say it. They're amazing. I was blessed. I was nervous, you know, working with MTIs. Everyone's like, oh, they're going to yell at me. But they just wanted someone to take care of them. And so I appreciated them accepting me as a family member. They mentored me. They held me accountable. They provided me feedback that made me a better leader. And, you know, the things that they did, and the great thing about the 433rd is it's total force. You're working with the active duty side by side, and there's no difference between active duty and reserve. And the active duty squadrons, the chiefs, they embraced me. They provided me, you know, guidance on, you know, what to do, because I wasn't an MTI. The public speaking, the giving the speeches, getting to see, to mold, they were trainees, and seeing them get off that bus as citizens, turning, becoming trainees, and then when they graduated, become airmen, that was an amazing job. Every day I was so excited to be a part of that. And then going over to Pacer Forge, Major Glover is going to make it even better than what it was. And he has so many great ideas. And the great thing about it is he has operational control. So the active duty has let him to run Pacer Forge to make it better with the new, you know, the changing environment. They're changing a lot of the curriculum for this new threat. And Major Glover is the right person to do it. Those MTIs from the 433rd are the right airmen to make it happen.
Before we conclude this podcast, is there anything else you'd like to add that I may have forgotten to ask?
No, Jet, this has been amazing. I just want, you know, everyone to know that it's so important to build relationships, making people feel valued. That's what's going to make them want to come to work to be better. I embrace ideas. If you have an idea, ask me the question. As I walk around to get to know the new members, you know, I'm the new member of the 340th. Don't be scared if I pull you aside and just want to have a conversation with you, because I want to get to know everyone. I can't do it all, but what I ask, come introduce yourself to me. If you see me walking around and I look lost or, you know, not sure where I'm going, pull me aside, introduce yourself, and share your story, because as the SCL, I'm here for everyone here. So that's my job.
Well, ma'am, thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your time, and thank you for listening. Be sure to check out more podcasts as we introduce more members of our team, including our new honorary commanders. Y'all don't want to miss these interviews. As a reminder, you can follow your 340th Avengers on social media via Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and as of this year, LinkedIn. You can also catch up on the latest news across the command on our website at www.340ftg.afrc.af.mil. From our entire 340th Avengers team, I'm Jet Fabera, and we'll catch up with you anywhere, anytime.